141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, ahead of what promises to be a huge weekend across the Scottish Premiership. It'll be second v first at Ibrox in what could be title-defining territory. By then, we'll know if Celtic have won and managed to put on some pressure of their own. And Peter Leaven confirmed as the Aberdeen boss until the end of the season, assisted by the returning Tony Docherty. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
If your wife and your two daughters and three of your grandchildren were leaving tomorrow morning to spend three nights in the Highlands, how do you think you would spend your Sunday, Scott? You know, maybe between the hours of 2 and 7 o'clock. I think I'd be watching Kilmarnock Celtic and Rangers Hearts.
I'm just glad you didn't ask the Dazzler that question.
No.
But you've got an empty for the big day on Sunday.
The
you
man
must
cave
be beside yourself.
The man cave will never have seen the like, because this is now too fascinating for words. I mean, the sliding doors moment at Fir Park and at Celtic Park on Wednesday night that has reactivated the whole business. Celtic at Kilmarnock. Celtic have 6 times this season, from the 85th minute onwards, scored goals that have turned draws into wins. But as Martin O'Neill says, you can't go on like that. So they have to be emphatic from the start against Kilmarnock. And on one hand, James Tavernier said after the draw at Motherwell, the pressure was on Rangers. And now I think Danny Rowle is trying to suggest, Scott, the pressure's on Hearts.
Yeah, I think at this stage we're literally going from week to week now.
Yeah.
Some of the way the games are swinging is incredible. And I think it'll be no different this weekend. Very hard to predict. I think Kilmarnock will be a real difficult task for Celtic now. They've obviously scored 7 goals in the last 2 at Rugby Park and looked like they've got a threat. Definitely had a bounce off of Neil McCann coming in the Rangers Hearts game. I just think it's really hard to call. Hearts finding a way to win against Hibs during the week. Wasn't a brilliant game of football, but Magnussen comes on, scores a fantastic goal, and Rangers, it was always going to be a difficult game away to Motherwell. I think you've got to show Motherwell a lot of respect, but the way Motherwell dominated the ball, I think Rangers fans would have been unhappy with it and expected a bit more of a threat, especially when Fadinger gets sent off. But Motherwell are finding a way as well, so it's very hard to predict, and I can't wait for it.
Oh, what a weekend we've got in store. And the less said about what Hugh Keevans gets up to in his man cave, the better. 01419511025. Let's hear from you this evening. There is so much to get through. It feels like the dust is just settling on that midweek that Hugh mentions, as Stephen Welsh's equaliser goes in and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scores, and what that does for the picture that could completely change again at the weekend. And you know it's getting serious when we're arguing about who the pressure is on the most. One of those never-ending discussions. So really looking forward to this weekend. Give us all your thoughts, please. How can you look past Sunday at Ibrox? Hearts chasing an incredible head-to-head record against the Old Firm this season. They've already won there. They beat Rangers at home, they've been Celtic at home and away. It's just been incredible for them. Can they keep this up? Hearts with the chance to go 8 points ahead of Rangers. But of course, if Rangers can win, you'd have to say it is very much on, even more on than it is at the moment. Danny Rowle hasn't had a lot of criticism in his time as Rangers boss, understandably, because he's done far more right than wrong. But just a few grumbles this week about team selection, maybe a detailed analysis of some of his comments after the game at Fir Park. He tried to clear them up today and spoke about what he meant, and again about the team selection and so on. He maybe did come across a bit more guarded today. Maybe that is as a result of some of the criticism. Try to remind people of where they've been, how far they've come to get within this distance. And Derek McInnes says Hearts are starting to annoy people as well. So all the old mind games have started. Celtic will have their say as well. The guys have put up a good case, because Kilmarnock are a lot better now than they were a couple of weeks ago. But again, can Celtic land a blow before Hearts take to the field at Ibrox? It is absolutely fascinating, Hugh Keevans.
To be fair to one of our Super Scoreboard callers, before the game kicked off at Motherwell on Wednesday night, he called into the programme after he and the Rangers team and said Danny Rowle has thrown away the points. Now, he was half right. Danny Rule threw away 2 points, because I think the manager has to concede he picked the wrong team, and the team who were on the park were outplayed for long stretches by Motherwell. And again, fate just keeps coming up with new twists and turns and subplots, and it had to be Stephen Welsh on loan from Celtic who scores the goal but gets the draw. So it goes on and on and on, but credit to the man. I think he came from Dumbarton, and they know their football down there. And he said before the game started, the team selection was what would cause Rangers problems.
It's been a fascinating week already, Scott, and plenty more to come.
Plenty more to come. I think touching on that starting lineup that Danny Rowe did select during the week, I was really surprised myself. I thought there was players there, and he'll say they might not be as ready as he wants them to be, but I think that was a huge game for Rangers, especially to put pressure back on Hearts after them winning the night before. I think at this stage it's about having your best players in the park, whether they're 100% or not. I don't think Rangers can rely on too many players in that squad to come in and do a better job than the better players. I just don't think they have that level of player at their disposal. In saying that, they've won nil up, scored a fantastic goal, if not probably one of the best goals Rangers have scored this year from my point of view. And then you look across to the other side of Glasgow and Celtic. Oxlade-Chamberlain, callers phoned in on Friday night questioning if he was going to be a good signing, and what an impact he had. Comes on and shows a real moment. And I think when you have a player of that quality, moments are pivotal, especially when you're going for a league. And he certainly proved that for Celtic during the week.
I mean, Hugh, there's loads of big games tomorrow as well. We won't to overlook it. Do you get the feeling it's sort of win now or never sort of thing for our old pal Marvin and Livy? It's a fascinating weekend, of course, in the Championship. There's lots happening.
I mean, it's Dundee they're playing. It's absolutely must win for Marvin. But I fear for him and for them. Dundee shot themselves in the foot. Jan Danda missing the penalty at Falkirk on Wednesday night. I also look at St Mirren. Could a team who won a major trophy end up in the relegation playoffs? Because they're headed that way, unless they're careful.
A lot of questions to be answered between now and the end of the season. We'll get some interesting answers this weekend. 01419511025. Scott is in Clydebank. How are you, Scott?
I'm not too bad, Robin. How's yourself?
Good, thank you. Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Just firstly, before I start, I'd seen you on the canal path there. I was out on my run.
See, what
you weren't running, but though,
I wasn't running. What you'll find, Scott, is see when you know that you need to spend 2 hours listening to Hugh Keevans, you sometimes need to just clear your head before you come in. So if I arrive early and the sun's out, I think a wee bit of fresh air, I'll take a wee walk down the canal. And what I was about to say, Scott, is you usually pass some characters in this neck of the woods, and it turns out you are one of them.
Aye, absolutely. My legs might have been covered in blood, if you happen to notice. Might have had a wee fall along the way. A rogue branch decided it wanted to pick a fight with me. But,
Scott, I think I passed multiple people with covered in blood, to be honest, but I won't hold it against you. I'm glad that inspired you to call. Who's your team?
Rangers.
What are you thinking this weekend then?
To be honest, I think we'll be alright. I think we'll probably get the job done against Hearts. I think Motherwell on Wednesday night, especially away from home, was a tougher game. I think it was clear to see, even the first 70 minutes prior to the red card, Motherwell was probably unfortunate to be a goal down, should have been ahead. We were probably fortunate to be in that position, but when the red card comes, your first thought is brilliant, let's go for the jugular, finish this off, and it wasn't to be, but Motherwell probably deserved the point, so we couldn't complain too much.
Carry on.
Hearts on Sunday, I think, even watching Edinburgh Albion Wednesday night, Hearts are not a great side. They've been getting the job done, but I think when it comes to games where they sort of need to be on the front foot, they struggle, which means on Sunday it could be a better game for them because we're going to be on the front foot. But I think with a packed Ibrox, good atmosphere, hopefully right up for it, we should be able to get the job done.
If Hearts are not a great side, Scott, how about your own team? Because you haven't beaten Hearts yet.
I know, but just we've been poor. We're getting better. So I think Sunday's coming at a good time for us in the back of Wednesday. Get a wee bounce back. We've been good at coming back under Rowe recently. So we'll see how we go.
I don't know how anybody knows anything anymore. You know, because it
doesn't stop you throwing predictions around.
Of course not, but I've got an image to portray. you know, the Hearts and Hibs was terrible. An awful match. But Hearts dug in and found a way, as they say. The following night, Motherwell found a way. Celtic found a way. I think the Rangers Hearts game will be sensational because I think Derek McInnes he's got the mean face on. He was not a happy bunny after the game the other night, snapping away at reporters. So I think he's going there. We talk about statement wins. I think he knows that if he goes there, beats Rangers at Ibrox, who among us will then say, "Ah, they won't win it"?
Do they deserve, though, Scott, the recognition of having made a statement already? You and I were at the Edinburgh Derby. None of us are going to pretend it was pretty, but tomorrow marks 20 weeks exactly tomorrow that Hearts have been top of the table. 20 weeks. So this notion of, but no, they're not playing that well, that they're just getting the job done, it has to be more than that to last 20 weeks. And by the way, they were top before that as well and dropped off for a couple of weeks in between, but I'll keep repeating it because I like the stat. 20 weeks tomorrow, they've been top. You can't bluff it for that long. You can't just find a way for that long. You can't. It's impossible.
No, you've built something, and what they've built is momentum and clear togetherness within the group. I think at the same time, Lauren Shankland, Cammy Devlin, Halkett out obviously for the derby, going down to 10 men in games, they're not just finding a way. They're finding a way when it's against them.
I think they still don't have Shankland and Devlin this weekend.
And I think that they deserve enormous credit. And I think it suits Hearts if you let Rangers come on to you at the weekend. I think Derek McInnes will be interesting to see how he sets up. I think he might invite the pressure and look to catch Rangers, because Rangers will have to go and break them down. I think Hearts, when they are...
Just going to ask Hugh, before you come in, Scott, how big is this? Is it too much of a stretch, or are you in agreement that if Hearts were to win, can Rangers... Is that it? Do you think Rangers make back 8 points on Hearts if Hearts go and beat them for a third time this season?
I would struggle to see us coming back even if we drew the game.
Really?
Which is probably... It sounds a bit daft, but it's probably why I feel slightly better going into it, because we need to win. And I know you can look at Rangers teams over the past number of years and go, well, they struggle when they need to win.
Did you not think during the week, I was going to ask you that, Scott, did you not think that was in the same mould as what the Hearts game was? Because obviously the next game is always your biggest, but I thought Motherwell was a real chance for Rangers to put a statement out.
It's like, you've heard a lot of people talk about Motherwell this season. I've watched them bits and bobs, but I think the first 70 minutes, all I could think of in my head, I don't know how we're 1-0 up. I'd love a second to feel comfortable. And even when they went down to 10 men, I think you've seen it with the subs. We're making subs to go defensive and hang on to it, whereas Motherwell are making subs to go for the game and try and get something
for
the
game. How much do you hold that against Danny Rule, Scott? Because he's not really put much of a foot wrong domestically. He's not had stick. He's not deserved stick. And in isolation, we covered this, you know, last night. It is hard to go to Fir Park. Celtic went there and lost. Hearts went there and drew. Nobody really goes there and wins. I think Falkirk were the last to do it quite a long time ago. So in isolation, there's like no shame in it, but it does feel like the Rangers fans maybe weren't impressed with some of the things that happened the other night. How much of that is on Danny Rule?
Easy to say in hindsight after you concede, but I think if you see it out and you get the 3 points, which obviously are never, but if you see it out and get the 3 points, you're going, right, that's fine, we've took the 3 points, tough venue, but we've not. So obviously the uproar comes, and I think the culmination of events on Wednesday night, you look at Celtic getting a goal late on, a Celtic loanee coming and getting the equaliser on the last late on against us. It's these sort of events that reoccur season on season that probably opens up that scar tissue a bit, but all you can do is go on to Sunday and rectify it.
You'll know well, Scott, that if Hearts score first on Sunday, there'll be pandemonium inside Ibrox, because it's the same at Celtic Park. You know, that a panic is setting in now. Celtic and Rangers are not used to being in the company of a third party, and the fans will get on Rangers' back if Hearts score first.
It was a good point you came back with there, but I was desperate to jump in when Scott mentioned scar tissue, and just to bring up the fact that it's his scar tissue that's open to his cut that he got along the canal. It was nice to have you run past me earlier, Scott, and nice to speak to you. That was Scott and Clydebank. Gary is on the other line. What have you got for us this evening, Gary?
Good evening, James. How are we?
Good. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was just thinking that hopefully the Tavernier gets another extension, well, a year's contract. Obviously, I don't think he's going to be playing all the games because he's put in a great service for Rangers. But moving on to that, who do you think would take the captaincy? Because I was thinking Raskin, but if Rangers don't win the actual league, to get into the Champions League, then I think they would actually sell him. So who do you think they would take the captaincy then?
We really never really are looking ahead.
I wouldn't give it to Raskin even if he stayed, because for me he's too indisciplined. Good player.
What do you mean?
He's
on the pitch? Don't get that much, does he? I can take the point that the allegations that he wasn't easy to get on with, but then Russell Martin didn't have any goodwill in the tank amongst the Rangers fans. He's not that ill-disciplined, is he?
I think he played well.
He was good. Love that clearance under the bar.
Yeah, terrific. But this strikes me as natural captain material. And in answer to Gary's inquiry, he'd be the kind of...
I admire your ability to look ahead. That just feels like there's so much to happen. You know, if James Tavernier lifts that trophy above his head in May, that will feel very different to if he's trudging away and, you know, with a third place finish, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. But it's just I'll keep him. I would just give him another year's contract. But like I said before, he's pace. He's just, but the goals he scores is, well, it's more than Chimiti. Do you know what I mean?
and will remain. Also, I mean, he's got his 100th Rangers goal. He's got his 150th career goal. He's always getting criticised by the Rangers fans, but I'd keep him for another season.
Thanks to Gary. 01419511025. More calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen, now joined on the line by Craig in the Gorbals. How are you, Craig?
Hi, Gordon, I'm good. How are you doing, folks?
Yeah, good, thank you. All good. What are you thinking then? Second v first at Ibrox on Sunday. Doesn't get much bigger than that.
It doesn't. I think obviously the game is always going to be big, but after Wednesday, it's a massive game. Through the week, when I'd seen the, just referring back to my role game first, sorry, when I initially seen the team, a bit, I don't think this is the right team. I know since then, and Danny Rowles confirmed in his press conference today, he's kept his cards close to his chest, but potentially Romans, and we obviously knew Nadiri had obviously picked up a knock. But when I initially saw the team, I thought we brought these four new signings in to push us for the title, and only one started. So it kind of, wee bit confused with that, and thought the three of them should have started out with Chiquani as well. More specifically, in his pre-match interview, Rowles always been about game by game and not looked ahead, but he made reference to the Hearts game, which I thought was quite unusual. He's not done that since he's been at Ibrox, and I thought kind of he referred back to the Hearts game was a bit unusual from a team selection perspective. So he obviously had one eye on Sunday.
Do you know why I like that, Craig? I always celebrate this. I don't care who the manager or the team is, because every now and then they do trip themselves up, which means see the next time that a manager says, we just take one game at a time. No, you don't, because yeah, you pretty much admitted it last time around. So when that cliche comes out, Hugh Keevans, I like it when you've got evidence that contradicts it, because Craig's right. I think there was a, forgive me if I'm misquoting Danny Rowe, but it was something like we took these games as a pair, or we looked at the two together, or something like that. Yeah, you know, and maybe that was reflected in his team selection.
As they say on social media, Hearts are living in his head.
Are you going rent free in the head? Are you?
Well, you know, the kids. I just remember these phrases from my time there. He's been here long enough to absorb the culture, and he knows how much is riding on Sunday's game, and he is very much aware that if he loses to Hearts for a third time at Ibrox in front of 50,000 people, there'll be bedlam, and there'll be 8 points behind Hearts, and he may never recover from that. So subconsciously he was playing Motherwell, but he was thinking about Hearts at the same time. And you know, the tension gets to him. Derek McInnes is trying the old Fergie trick about they don't like us, and you know, we're annoying people, and they all want us to lose, which is a load of old nonsense. But that's what's keeping Derek going. And the 73-year-old man at Celtic Park, he just whistles a happy tune and goes along. But he knows he's got a chance as well but he's just not going to give anything away because he's too old in the head.
You can get the frustration from the fans, and you can get where Danny Rule's coming from, Scott. If players are not fully fit, or they're not ready to play multiple games, or they're carrying knocks or whatever, clearly a manager's within his rights to take that into account. But if Craig probably summed it up right, you as a fan are hoping that these signings come in and make a difference. Now, I know it's recent, the window only closed, just over a week ago. But if you drop points to Motherwell, then drop points to Hearts, that might be it.
Yeah.
You've got no time to make that up. So, you know, this kind of trying to ease it and manage it, it might be too big a risk. It might work. We'll find out.
It might, but I'm on the same way of thinking. Gordon, for me, I don't think you could overlook the Motherwell game ahead of the Hearts. I thought it was a huge game at the time. I think if you were to go there and beat a team who had been so solid at home, especially at Firth Park, scoring goals, not conceding, going down to 10 men and come away with the 3 points, get into Hearts, I think it gave you a lot more momentum. I think players coming in January, as we spoke about there, Romans, Nadere, Fernandez coming back in, you're at a stage where they have to play. Just now is as pivotal as any other time in the season. Just now is really important. So I'm in that way of thinking. I thought I was very, very surprised with the team selection against Motherwell, because at that point, that is the biggest game of your season.
Craig, do you think you will win at the weekend? What if you don't? Is there any way back? So on. What's going through your head?
Yeah, I think Sunday is massive. I don't want to say it's obviously a cup final. It's not a one-off game, but it's got that magnitude about it. Well, best case scenario, we're 2 points behind. We're right back in the race. We're kind of, there's a good feel about it. Well, there's already a good feel. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying one match and everything's doom and gloom. But on the other side, if we lose the game, we're 8 points behind. It's not impossible, but I think if we go 8 points behind Hearts, bearing in mind they've then beat Celtic twice home and away, and they've beat Rangers twice home and away.
The other fascination, Craig, the other fascination about Sunday is that the game that kicks off at 2 o'clock will have consequences where the league race is concerned, and will dictate the atmosphere at Ibrox. Because you can imagine, if Celtic lose, Ibrox will be whipped into a frenzy before the match even starts.
In the Hearts end as well.
Yeah.
Because then they've got a chance to really, you know, gain or, you know, pull away from both. Now, let's hear from Danny Rule, because, like we said, it's probably been one of the weeks where he's had the most criticism. He's not really had much. He's not deserved much. They've done well since he came in. This week maybe just felt a bit different, whether that was over the top or not. Let's get the manager's take on it.
24 hours you get a trophy for the best manager of the month. 24 hours later you're not good enough. This is football. It's about, I think I said it many times, always about the next game. It's about results. You're the next big game. I think we have just big games since I'm here. It's always about a must win. We want to win. We know what it means. We have a big opportunity to close the gap from 13 points to 2 points. And this is a great opportunity. For Hearts, if you were 13 points ahead of a club and you drop maybe to 2 points, maybe there's also pressure on them. Yeah, I think this is for both teams. Both teams knows what's about in this game, and we will prepare, we will invest, we will try, we will bring effort in, and then hopefully we take the 3 points.
That's
pressure's on Hearts, he says, well, Hugh, because if you're 13 points and you could get pegged back to 2, then the pressure's on you.
That's another insight into Danny Rule, because he wasn't like this when he arrived here, and none of them are ever like this when they arrive here, but they get into the city, and his reference there to you get manager of the month and then 24 hours later you're not good enough, you know, he's paying attention to social media, because I understand he got dog's abuse on social media after the 2 points were dropped at Fir Park for the team selection and everything else. He's now brutally aware of what's going on around him.
Is that an accurate picture that he paints for you, Scott, where his assessment there, maybe the pressure's on Hearts, because if they were 13 points ahead and it can be cut to 2, then, you know, the implication being that's not very good for them.
No, the pressure's on Rangers. Rangers, you look at what they've spent on players. Yes, had a bad start to the season, but they've managed to turn it around under Danny Rowe. They're the home team. They're chasing Hearts. Hearts, for me, don't need to win on Sunday, whereas for me, Rangers have to win. So for me, the pressure's on Rangers.
Interesting. Okay, thank you to Craig. Jimmy's in Carlisle. What do you think, Jimmy?
How's it doing, lads? Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure. What have you got for us?
So, first of all, I want to say, I think the reason why Rangers dropped points to Motherwell the other night is because I think Danny Rowe was looking ahead to the Hearts game. And I think you could really tell that with the team selection. I think he was trying to keep some of the better players, i.e. the new signings, a bit fresher for the Hearts game. I think he overlooked it. He thought they'd maybe go to Motherwell, get the win, and then it was just focus on Hearts, where, in my opinion, I think the Motherwell game was the harder of the two games, because I think we'll beat Hearts at the weekend. However, the thing that worries me about the title running, post-split, it's looking likely that we're going to have Hearts and Celtic away. So I think that's where it's going to, that's what might trip us up. So I want to see what the lads thought about that. But also, as good as Hearts has done, and you can't take nothing away from them, they have had luck. And I don't hold anything against a team having luck, because I think teams need luck. Even Rangers and Celtic need luck to win the league sometimes. So the luck that Hearts have had, teams need it. But I just don't care. I just don't think Hearts will have enough to get them over the line. And I just want to see what the what you lads thought about that.
We go back to Gordon Stat. They've been top of the league for 20 weeks. You can't really have a character defect and be top of the league for 20 weeks.
Listen, they still might not have enough to get them over the line. That could be a separate thing.
Before we leave Motherwell behind, you know, at the end of the day, he picked the wrong team. However, Rangers scored a terrific goal from Nico Rascan, and it was Rangers' fault thereafter. He did not pick all the players that he should have picked, but those on the park, with the goal of a starter after 6 minutes, ought to have been better than they were.
I don't necessarily agree with that, Hugh. I think once Motherwell settled into how they play consistently week in, week out, they force you back into that shape. But then it's when Rangers turn over the ball, can they be better with it? But to not Rangers going there and not having the ball, I wasn't surprised at that, because Motherwell do that, have done that to every single team in the league at some point this season. It's for me, when they then won the ball back, they weren't as good as on the counter as you would expect. And when they went down to 10 men, I thought this is going to be a little bit easy here, and they stopped doing the basic things, whether it was getting tight with someone. Obviously, it's a direct box into the box, being 5 yards off a man who you should be challenging with. So for me, a lot of credit does go to Motherwell and how they affected Rangers playing. But there's no getting away from it. Hearts are getting by just now, but they're winning games. Hearts are going to be stronger by the time they're going to split, because they're going to have Shankland back, they're going to have Devlin back.
Cammy Devlin back by potentially the next game.
After
Rangers, potentially, and then almost certainly the one after that, if not, the update today.
But I agree with Jimmy. I think he did overlook the Motherwell game, which I think down the line.
It's not like a reserve team they put out, though.
Was that Rangers' strongest team? I don't think so. I don't think Rangers fans would agree with that.
I think the new players are so new that you can't be 100% sure. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't scream out like a reserve team or resting guaranteed big hitters. Romans, you could probably make a case, right?
Romans, but again, it's
very early. And again, like Nadiri got his goal against Queen's Park. Listen, the jury's out on Chirmiti anyway. I know Scott Olsen comes with a big CV, but you know, are you sure that they go in and is it?
Well, you would expect a Scott Olsen coming in for a game.
But is it then disrespectful to Motherwell that we're now kind of building up this notion that if Rangers had just played a couple of other players, it would have been different?
Or I think what's disrespectful to Motherwell is to say that Danny Rule overlooked that game because he was thinking about Hearts. On what basis could a man of his experience, and we always go back to, he was at Bayern Munich, and on what basis would he overlook the most talked about team in the league?
But that's why people are, I'm now going on the other side, that's why people are saying that it was a mistake. You know, if he was playing a cup final the other night, would Romans have started?
Well, ultimately, if you don't win the game, then you leave yourself open with the team selection.
Okay, thank you to Jimmy on the line. That was Jimmy in Carlisle. Pleasure to speak to you. Before we move on, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. You missed this earlier. Here's the moment Craig won £450,000.
I'm actually getting married on the 13th of May. This will go towards that. I'm just shocked. We've been out on since the beginning. So I'm shaking. Oh my God. I don't know how to take it all in.
No wonder. And by the sounds of that, Craig isn't from far away from here either. So people listening,
wonder if that's in the joint account or just his.
Must be some wedding if he's putting £450,000 towards it.
I know. Do you think you give the joint account details over? Just your own personal account. Anyway, Craig, congratulations, and guess what? It's going up next week, so your wedding can be even better. £475,000. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, including the fact that it is over 18s only and the lines close 5 p.m. next Friday. If you'd rather phone, it's 03434 269 340 with the calls charged at a standard rate. So good luck from us. You could join Craig with even more money. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here at 0141 951 1025. Paddy is next on the line. How are you, Paddy? You looking forward to the weekend?
I am, yes. Happy Friday night to you guys.
Same to you.
Well, it's just this time of the year, the business end of the season, you know, and for once we've got you know, a real challenge in terms of, you know, the outcome of the league title. So good chance for Celtic to make a real statement this weekend, and you know, obviously with Hearts and Rangers playing each other, then one or both of them are going to drop points. So I'm confident we'll get that business done at Rugby Park. I'm hoping for another man of the match performance from Tinecki. He seems to like Rugby Park. He kind of suits him, that plastic pitch. He can run with the ball as opposed to trying to, you know, the kind of forward runs over the top. It doesn't really suit that pitch. So I'm hoping for at least a brace from him.
Oh, wow. High hopes, Paddy.
I'll stick a couple of quid on a hat trick.
Stick him down,
Paddy,
for a hat trick.
Can I take you back 2 managers and 5 months ago at Kilmarnock? Celtic struggled the whole day long and got a penalty that never was, and Ian Atcho scored. So I don't think that Hearts fans, Celtic fans and Rangers fans can be overly confident about anything, because all manner of twists and turns are coming up, and it didn't just happen yesterday. As I said, 5 months ago, on September the 15th, to be precise, Celtic went to Kilmarnock and were very lucky.
The thing is, Scott, though, the kind of the comparison to either, both teams are so different, they've both got different managers. Killie are now, certainly in the last couple of weeks, looking a lot better. You know, Neil McCann, we had callers on here, it wasn't a particularly popular appointment, but you look at some of the attacking output from the other night. When would you ever have, you know, thought Kilmarnock scoring 4? It was at 3 in the previous game.
Performed well
at Ibrox, but because they went down 10 men after about 3 minutes. It's going to be fascinating because, as Paddy says, on paper, which doesn't always count for everything, but on paper, Celtic are the ones that can be poised to take advantage, because Rangers and Hearts can't both win, obviously, right? We're in stating the obvious territory. So, but Celtic play first as well. I love all this, where even the scheduling comes into play as well.
Yeah, listen, I think it's one of the games, players especially, you know, when you're down to Kilmarnock, that it is going to have it's going to play a factor in how you play with the ball. Tinecki, for me, I think he has been a standout the last few weeks. He looks like a player full of confidence. You've seen him, that end product's now coming. He's played his part. He looks very confident when he's driving with the ball at opposition defenders. For as much as Kilmarnock have scored goals in the last few weeks, they still have that vulnerability defensively. So Celtic are going to have to show a bit of patience at times with the ball, and when that chance presents itself, can they take it? But I do think Kilmarnock will ask questions of Celtic defensively. That's the one thing. I think John Jules has been an absolute standout for them. Mm. Every game I've seen him in the last 3 weeks, he's really performed well. So he would be one to watch. But you're right, Gordon. It's a chance for Celtic. Can they go and take care of business, and then the pressure's over to Ibrox?
I take it, is draw at Ibrox the favoured outcome, Paddy? If you win, then you gain on both.
I think Hearts probably the team that are going to chasers all the way. In my opinion, I think Rangers will fall away.
So you want Rangers to win?
I'll never, ever, ever.
So where ever do we go? So you do want a draw then?
Well, I'm just thinking out loud. You've got
me. Well, give us an answer.
I'll get a draw.
I nearly had him saying he wanted Rangers to win, but I won't push my luck that much. Thank you, Paddy, on the line. Is very confident ahead of the weekend. You Kelly fans could share your thoughts on that one as well. Gary is in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
Good evening, Gordon. Hello, Shu and Scott. Hope you're all well.
Are you as confident as your fellow Celtic fan was there of this being a productive weekend in the title race for you?
I think, as Shu mentioned earlier on, sliding doors moments. At quarter to 10 the other night, I was probably sat thinking, right, that's us, done it, we've ruined it. And then a goal for the Ox, and a goal for another Celtic player, just kind of turns it in its head. So yeah, a lot more confident getting into this weekend. Now, the reason for my call was, a lot of people obviously questioned Oxlade-Chamberlain coming up here, why we would sign him, he's passed it, he's not played. What I think he might be, the difference. And he might be the man to quell the shift in the balance of power, as Shu calls it. I just think the way he spoke after the match, he's just got premiership quality oozing for his interviews. Obviously, for that goal he scored, I know it was only a kind of snapshot, but that's the kind of player you need that's going to turn it on in big moments. Scott mentioned it earlier, moments in games where you need it. And that the other night was just a nice cameo and just kind of showing people, look, I'm here for... He's up here for a reason, and he means business.
You know, Hugh, when you're in our industry, our side of it, you're just in it for the stories. I don't really care who wins in that regard, but when you see someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain come, all this stuff about signing, it was a great debate for us. You know, is it a risk? Is he injury prone? Is he too old? Is he past it? Has he still got it? And then he comes on in his debut and does that. It's just a great story. We'll see how it develops. What did you make of it when you heard the other night?
Well, I mean, the word fate was running through my mind, particularly when Stephen Welston makes it 1-1 for Motherwell. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain left his business card. I am Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. That's what I am capable of. And it was a fantastic moment. I thought the stadium announcer at Celtic Park was going to pass out with excitement.
Some lung capacity, that guy.
Yeah, the word goal was extended long beyond what was healthy for him. But anyway, as I say, he left his business card. You now have to find out if he's capable of sustaining it, because he's on a plastic pitch on Sunday. I can't think that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's ever played a competitive match on a plastic pitch. Will he start? Will he look to capitalise on that moment and see what he can do for Celtic? Because I think, to go back to the point I made at the start of the programme, Celtic have 6 times in the league scored a goal after 85 minutes or longer to turn a draw into a win. But they've got to start being emphatic in matches much earlier on, and I wonder if Oxlade-Chamberlain plays on Sunday with that purpose in mind, because Martin O'Neill was the one who said it's just not feasible to go on in this way. Junior Adamu scoring that goal, I know it was in the Scottish Cup, which kept Celtic in the competition. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and what he did on Wednesday night, but Celtic, they've got to get more involved, be more cutting edge in front of goal, because they can't always rely on the 90 minutes plus goal.
Scott, I suppose the other night isn't proof that he's here and it contributes all the time and that the fitness is never a problem and he goes and plays. You can only find that out in time. But as far as moments go early on, you can't really do much more than that. And it gets everybody off to that a start that gives you the confidence and belief that it can lead to being a successful signing.
Yeah, listen, it was a finish of a player who's played at the highest level, the way he receives it, and it's only going one way. He's obviously 2 seconds ahead, knowing where he wants to put the ball. I just think, for me, I was for the signing of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Thought it was a good bit of signing. The reason I think that is because undoubtedly we all know he's a good footballer. I would much rather have someone in my squad, whether he's playing week in, week out or not, but he can come on and influence games because you know he's got undoubted quality. That was something that you don't know with some of the signings that Celtic are making. So for me, I think especially for him coming up there, and he would have felt that love in the stadium when he scored the goal, that'll really kick him on. That'll really drive him on to want to go and do well. He'll want more of that. So I think it was a huge moment for Celtic, but also a huge moment for Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Thank you, Gary. It's that time on a Friday night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Nice way to end the week, surely, by beating Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen on Beat the Pundit. Give us a call, be 47 if you want to play and you think you've got the knowledge. 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here building up to a brilliant weekend ahead. It can't be anything else. The way the fixtures are, even if the games are not of the highest quality entertainment, the outcomes are going to be massive. We're really looking forward to it, so keep the calls coming, whether it is Tynecastle, Rugby Park, somewhere else that's taking your attentions this weekend. We'll do as much of it as we can after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Callers are on a two-game winning streak, which means Robbie from Edinburgh has the chance to win the week for the listeners. Are you happy with that, Robbie?
Pressure's on now.
Can you step up under pressure?
Well, I hope Hearts come at the weekend.
I was going to say, that's where I was going.
Robbie was going to be a Hearts fan.
Am I that transparent? Robbie is a Hearts fan. You'd give up your signed ball for a Hearts win at Ibrox at the weekend, would you not?
Absolutely.
There's a man with his priorities in the wrong order, if you ask me. But let's toss the coin and find out. I'm sure we'll talk Hearts in a second. The blue is always for Hugh, and red for Scott.
Been you for the last 3 weeks, yeah?
Is it?
Yeah.
You've been on a bit of a streak. Right, let's see what we can do. Okay. Well, there you go. You got your wish. Red for Scott Allen this evening. So we'll give him something else to listen to. Robbie,
Former
Hibs player. You've got 30 seconds. Robbie, just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, good man. 30 seconds on the clock. Robbie from Edinburgh. And your time starts now. Name any Rangers January signing who played against Motherwell.
Robbins.
Who began wearing number 9 for Celtic this month?
Ida.
Do more points separate the top three in the Scottish top flight or the English top flight?
English.
Who scored Scotland's goal against Switzerland at Euro 2024?
Adams.
Which former Scottish Premiership top scorer now plays for Motherwell?
Pass.
Who was the last Scottish team Lee Griffiths played for?
Celtic.
Okay, bring back Scott Allen. Can you hear us? They are tough. I'm sorry to tell you. Sorry to ruin your night. They're tough.
Former Hibs player. Do you know Robbie?
We heard you say that, but you thought that maybe we didn't hear it because you couldn't hear it because we gave you the music. But right, we still heard you, don't worry. And I even repeated it for good measure. So for the fourth time, he's a former Hibs player up against Robbie from Edinburgh. 30 seconds starts now. Name any Rangers January signing who played against Motherwell.
Chukwuane.
Who began wearing number 9 for Celtic this month?
Pass.
Do more points separate the top three in the Scottish top flight or the English top flight?
No.
Scottish or English?
Oh, English, sorry.
Who scored for Scotland against Switzerland at Euro 2024?
McTominay.
Which former Scottish Premiership top scorer now plays for Motherwell?
Can you do that again, sorry?
Which former Scottish Premiership top scorer plays for Motherwell now?
Regan Charles Cook.
Was about to take it off him. Robbie, what do you think?
I think he's got me. They were tough ones.
They were tough. You did quite well to dig out some good guesses, though. The Rangers January signings who played were Chukwuane, played the full game, I think, and Nadiri came off the bench. That was it, wasn't it? So I'm afraid it's 1-0 to Scott Allen. Junior Adamu is the new Celtic number 9. None of you got it. 1-0 to Scott Allen. You probably did answer this right now that I think about it, but it just confused me because I was just looking for you to say Scottish or English. It is English. You got it right. So did Robbie. So it's 2-1 there. Scotland have been drawn in the Nations League against Switzerland, which has obviously inspired this question about the Euros. It was Scott McTominay. It was the only goal, was it not, scored at the Euros? Or was it an own goal against Germany?
That was a guess.
At the start, it was Scott McTominay anyway. Did Scott McKenna get credited with that first one? Own goal? Anyway, right. Scott McTominay, well done. 3-1 to Scott Allen. The former Premiership top scorer who now plays for Motherwell is Regan Charles Cook. Did he not come on again? At left back?
Yes, left back.
The other night. Jens Ball for you. And who was the last Scottish team Lee Griffiths played for? You didn't get this far.
Falkirk.
It was Falkirk. Robbie said Celtic. So it was a 4-1 win. Robbie, your team needs to do better than that at Ibrox on Sunday.
I thought I'd take the embarrassment this weekend for them.
You've taken the heat off them. The only way is up. Robbie, you've got an unbelievable record against the Old Firm this season. And I was delighted when my Sky Sports stat pack landed in my work email this morning. The standout for me, Hugh, you'll like this. Derek McInnes has won away at Ibrox this season and away at Celtic Park. There is only one manager in the history of the Scottish top flight who's got three wins away to the Old Firm in a single season.
Must be Fergie.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
And Derek McInnes can join that club this weekend. He did it twice, I think, in the late 70s, early 80s. So, Robbie, that's not the main incentive. I'm sure the main incentive is to go 8 points clear at the top. What would that say about your head-to-head record? If you could even stay unbeaten again, it would be your third game against Rangers. You've played Celtic three times. If you can come through all of that unbeaten, that would just be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, going back past seasons, they always say, oh, your games against Rangers and Celtic won't define your season, but certainly defining like Rangers and Celtic season this year. So I'm hoping that we can go and get it, and then obviously the pressure's off for a little bit. You know, I mean, it's another week top. Going to end that way anyway, so yeah.
Great that I can just throw somebody else under the bus. Blame the Sky Sports statistician who sent it if it's wrong, but it sounds good and we'll stick with it for now. It's incredible that when you think about it, and I know it's not been a good version of Celtic, a good version of Rangers at times.
I was just about to say that to you.
We've seen that over the years though.
People could point to the appointment of Russell Martin and the disastrous start that he got Rangers off to, and then Celtic supporters would definitely point to Wilfred Nancy, who lost 12 league points to Motherwell, Hearts, Dundee United, Rangers, and say, well, there you are, that explains. But no, it doesn't. Hearts are there because of Hearts.
Well, listen, we're talking, I said, ever, yeah. You know, since Sir Alex. So there have been times, Rangers have finished third in the top flight. It was a couple of times when they came back up. You'll remember the ninth, Celtic finished fourth or fifth or something in the 90s, no?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they're always absolutely, you know, one and two, everything. There have been weak versions of those teams at times. And what a chance for Derek McInnes to go and get that wee start on his CV.
It really is. I do think you've got a selection problem up front. Does he start Kabore or not?
Who else would he start?
Roger Matos.
Rogers Matto. You've just put the S in the wrong place. It was an easy mistake to make. Think so?
Cheers, Gordon.
You're not more of a... I think he'd play all across the front. Is he as much of a focal point? We've not seen loads of him yet. He came off the bench late the other night, didn't he? What do you think, Robbie? Is Kabore get that good double at Tannadice, but it's hard for him because nobody's Lauren Shankland, are they?
I know.
No, I mean, nobody's Lauren Shankland. I think he will go with Kabore. He's been obviously loyal. I mean, the derby obviously didn't have the last couple of games. He's not quite got those goals he got at Tannadice, but I'm hoping that he can hold up the ball a bit better than he has been. I don't think he'll start Rogers Matto. If he will, I think it'd be on the wing. But I can see him playing Kizaridis and Chesnikov in the wings again and Kabore up front.
Halkett's massive coming back into the team, isn't he? I think you can see when he's not there, they're not as
Kent
composed.
Did quite well the other night though, just to clear his lines and stuff.
Eventually, I think he found himself coming onto a game. I thought early on he looked a bit nervous, should have been booked early on in the game.
In the absence of Shankland, you know, people have come to the fore. I mean, for Thomas Magnusson to suddenly pop up and score a goal, you know, I think if Derek wins at Ibrox, he'll float away outside of the ground and be found in Bella Houston Park. You know, he's getting more and more excited as the season progresses. He was understandably ecstatic after the win over Hibs. There's just an overall strength about them, an overall refusal to bow to anything that happens of a negative nature. And as we're all agreed, the game against Hibs on Tuesday was not a great advert for the Scottish game, but in the end, Magnussen was the mastermind.
Do you think you'll win the league, Robbie?
Did you get that there?
I liked it. We mastermind joke, Magnussen. Robbie, do you think they'll win the league, Hearts?
I think this is the best opportunity we'll get for the next few years.
Come on, that's not what I asked, Robbie.
Win on Sunday and yes.
Yeah, see, that's easy though. If they win on Sunday, I think they'll probably win the league. But we don't know if they'll win on Sunday. So
the dream ticket for Hearts is...
Do you think they're favourites right now?
I think favourites at the moment, yeah, just based on the fact that we're in the position we're in and we've got through a few tough games and grinded out the results.
It's all about, I suppose, you managing setbacks as well. If it doesn't go Hearts way at the weekend, again, everybody will be jumping up and down and saying that you know, this is, they won't win it. Yep. Up to Derek McInnes then to say, well, it's mid-February and we're still top. They're still going to be top at the weekend. You know, are you going to go and play Rangers four times, Celtic four times, and be undefeated in all of them across a season?
Yeah.
Probably not. But the tensions are high, and people will jump to conclusions if they lose at the weekend.
Game by game, though, the psychological advantage moves from here to there and back again. You know, for the Celtic supporters, as one of the fans said earlier, he's got his head in his hands at 1-1 against Livy, and Rangers are 1-1 at Fir Park, and then by 5 minutes later, the world has turned upside down. And it's the same for Hearts. If Hearts lose on Sunday and Rangers are 2 points behind them, you'd better believe they're under severe pressure. But if Hearts win and go 8 points ahead of Rangers, well...
Hearts have shown that they can come back. They obviously lose the game to St Mirren. The following week, they go and beat their nearest rivals in Hibs. Not playing well. Magnussen coming on. Inspired substitution.
Their first head-to-head defeat, that's what we're talking, you know, in the title rivals.
And then Rangers obviously drop points. And I just think it's going to be like this.
There's a lot more of this to come.
So much more to come.
Robbie, Danny Rule said earlier that the fact that you were 13 points and now they're ahead and there's now the chance for it to become two, that means the pressure is on you. Do you buy that?
Absolutely not. I think the guy's crumbling a bit, to be honest. I think even mentioning the Hearts game and his Motherwell lineup, I think that shows he's kind of crumbling a little bit. Even the fact he's mentioning that point, Scappy's trying to get into Dennett McInnes' head, but I think Dennett McInnes has been pretty clear all season on his attitude for it. So I think the pressure's all on Rangers.
Well, let's hear a bit from Derek McInnes. Thank you to Robbie in Edinburgh.
I think from the outset, it was people looking in from September when we went top of league, or good old Hearts top of league in September, good on them. October, November, still getting a lot of plaudits. And now that we're there now, I think we're actually starting to annoy a few people, and I think a lot of people naturally would have thought we'd have fell away by now, which is fine. I get that, and I understand it. We are overachieving. The boys are rinsing everything we're getting for the players. They're doing so well to maintain it, and I'm just enjoying where we are, and obviously there's big challenges ahead of us, but I don't see anybody in my dressing room not enjoying it, and we've just got to try and keep it going.
Interesting, you should say, we're overachieving. You know, I mean, the assembled aside that they clearly believed in and they maximised the...
It's not just simple, though, the finances. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
They would not... They're top of the league. They would have been third or fourth favourites to be top of the league.
I think if I'd been the Hearts manager, I would not have said, we're overachieving.
Why, though?
I'd have kept up the Mr. Angry persona. I'd have kept up the weird annoying people.
But is it not just so true? Because we're all, you know, you've been brought up in it longer than us, but particularly in the modern era, there's a reason no other team out with Glasgow's won this since the mid-80s. It just seems like as clear as day that they are. If a team outside Glasgow wins it, they can be described as punching above their weight or overachieving or whatever.
Listen, I don't disagree with all the arguments that you've made, but if I'm Derek McInnes, I don't say it out loud. I just keep up the persona of, yeah, you all thought we'd fall away by now and we haven't, and I would keep up the Mr. Angry, oblique Sir Alec Ferguson routine.
I don't know though, Scott, it feels like, so we're talking about Danny Rule earlier and saying the whole thing about the draw the other night, and people are saying you can think that, but you just can't say it as a Rangers manager. I just don't know if those rules apply to Hearts. If anything, it is worth getting reminded of just how much bigger Celtic and Rangers' budget is than Hearts.
Yeah, it's incomparable.
Because we got, really look into, we all got it really excited, is. Right? Because we've gone, oh, they're backed by Tony Bloom and this and that, and but it's still not. Not even in the same stratosphere as Celtic Rangers.
The finances in a way that then reflects what they're bringing in, all the stuff that goes with it. I understand Hugh's point on him saying it, but I think Derek McInnes at this point, he's using everything he can to draw strength from the group, whether that's the siege mentality that we've seen the last couple of weeks. They've obviously went through that defeat to St Mirren, bounced back against Hibs, as we spoke about. I think he's just trying to get every bit he can out of the players. And as I says, I think they will go into the split a stronger team with Shankland and Devlin back.
Is it going to be a nice set-piece battle, perhaps? Stuart Finlay's...
Set pieces were poor the other night, weren't they?
Stuart Finlay's the top-scoring centre-back in the league. Manny Fernandez won't be far behind him. Craig Halkett's in there as well. Yeah. Stuart Finlay scored against Rangers already this season.
Take him a rugby then.
I think so.
It could be. Listen, I do think that it's a huge part of football now. It can decide games, and you wouldn't be surprised if either team won the game on a set piece.
The Hearts have a set piece coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they're the only two teams.
They played short the other night, which was strange, wasn't it? They played short quite a few times, especially early on in the game. You think they would have just put it in an area and gone really tested Hibs off the back of conceding two goals from a set piece against Dundee United.
Okay, thanks again to Robbie on 01419511025. What are you thinking? Any more Hearts fans out there, or any Rangers fans then want to come in? It is the game of the weekend, based on the fact that both of you are clearly in that picture of the jeopardy, the incentive, it is all there. It should be quite something. So we'll pause and take more of your calls when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. Loads of time to still get your calls in ahead of a bumper weekend with championship action on a Friday night as well. I'm sure you Partick Thistle fans will be hoping Airdrie do your turn against St Johnston. Let me set this up before we speak to Zach.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Lots of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain-inspired questions I've noticed on the back of his goal the other night. So anyway, Rory, thank you very much to Rory for sending this in. And if you want to send a question in, you think you've got what it takes to come up with something, catch the pundits out, you need to email fulltime@clyde1.com. So, Rory says, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain won the Champions League with Liverpool. Can you name the eight other players who've won the competition since 2003? And they've played in Scotland at any point in their career. So actually, the Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain bit is not really relevant. Can you name eight players who've won the Champions League since 2003 and played in Scotland at any point in their career?
Andy Robertson.
Andrew Robertson, yes, well done.
Paul Lambert,
not since 2003. 97, wasn't it? Dortmund, was it against Juventus?
Van Bronckhorst.
Yes, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I'll take one more guess from you.
Henrik Larsson.
Yes, well done. We'll leave it there. Thanks again to Rory for sending in, and thanks to our new sponsor Arcaplan Glasgow for helping us out with the teaser tonight as well. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Zach, who's in Fife. Hi Zach.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good evening, Scott and Hugh.
Hi.
It was just in regards to the Motherwell game the other night. Mm-hmm. So like about it before the kickoff, because I thought much that we played against Queen's Park Rangers. Now, I know it's only against Queen's Park Rangers, but the new players were on, and obviously they were gelling. A lot of,
I think Zach's line's actually dropping in and out a wee bit, and you're catching every odd word. But I think you can certainly get the gist. It's about this team selection again the other night. See, in fairness to Zach and others, Hugh, I don't think people have been clever after the event about this either.
No.
Saw loads of it, you know, when the team was announced. We're all in, well, you're no, but everybody else is in group chats and whatever, and there's all.
He didn't have to go any further than this programme.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There was somebody somewhere all saying that. I don't think he's got that right.
After the team was announced and before the game began, we had a caller here who said, I think the manager's thrown the points away. Now, he threw two thirds of the points away. There might have been, to be fair to Danny Rowe, there might have been perfectly legitimate reasons for the players who were left out being left out, and he could specify what those reasons were. But I also think that Rangers ought to have had 11 players with a goal of a start who were capable of holding on to that advantage.
I said it earlier, Scott, I just wonder if slightly too much of it has been made, right? Because, so I know people think Ter Romans is better than Jade Magoma. That seems to be the consensus. But Jade Magoma has been part of the Rangers team that has clawed back this. He's part of the Rangers team that has got the best, what is it, they've got the best form in the league since Danny Rule took over. Now, Yusuf Chirmiti, again, he gets a lot of stick. He's still the marquee signing. I go back to, it's not like a couple of young players were thrown in, players that barely play. There was obviously a reason that I think he would have started. Manuel Fernandez probably coming back. Giga in isolation, actually a good game. Do you not say that one tackle in particular was excellent?
Yep.
They're looking at, so again, and I know there's not a body of work to say that Gassama is consistent and always plays, but one of his better games was against Motherwell at Ibrox. He gave Longuello a really tough time, and he can be that difference maker. We've seen that before. I just think we need to find that sweet spot between, yeah, fine, he maybe got the wrong team, to use the air quotes, but I don't know, it feels like we're acting as if he made these wholesale changes and it was always destined to be a disaster.
I just think, for me, obviously the signings coming in January, you were hoping they were going to come in and strengthen the starting 11. That, for me, was the biggest game at that moment, up until then play Hearts. If you'd get a win, it would have put them in a really good place. For me, I thought they had to start, especially Scott Olsen, the Derry officer off the back of scoring at the weekend. Chirmiti has had lots of opportunities out with the Celtic game at Celtic Park, where he scores the two good goals. He gets the one chance and he puts it the only place he shouldn't put it, and that's right down the goalie's throat. So for me, I just felt it was an opportunity to build momentum with players coming in off the back of a good performance.
Having said all of
this,
I would give you the key to the man cave if Danny Rowe did not put all the signings in on Sunday. They will all be there, present and correct. Yeah, I think he's...
Scott Olsen definitely starts.
Yeah. I think Danny Rowe
has read
the room. And Scott Olsen will start for sure.
Well, we'll know if he made the right decision during the week, if they play at the weekend, because I just didn't think they could look past. I know you're saying about the old cliche about you only look to the next game. I really felt the Motherwell game was that.
Zach, where are you on Yusuf Chirmiti? We will continue to speak about him one way or the other. There was the price tag and then the slow start, and then maybe the start of something when he scores in the Old Firm game. But now it looks like, you know, that chance the other night is not one for the highlights reel. How do you feel about him, and does he continue to lead the line or not this weekend?
Actually, hear me this time, Gordon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, on you go.
Honestly, and I've said this for a long time now since Chirmiti's came into Rangers, I don't think the boy is a number nine. I think whoever has told number nine, here, number 10, football.
The Old Firm game, for me, you know, it makes saints or sinners out of players. I think too much was read into what Chirmiti did against Wilfred Nancy's Celtic, and I bow to Gordon DL. The man that played football at the highest level was sitting there watching Chirmiti in person, and I heard him say, to his way of thinking, he is never a Rangers number nine.
I mean, Scott, I think maybe you know more about the kind of creativity in that pocket of the pitch, but it feels like Zach maybe fell into a trap that we do quite a lot. We get a striker, anybody, I say we, it's the universal we, you get a striker who isn't prolific, so we just assume that he can be a number 10 instead. That's not really it, is it? He's, what does anything suggest he's got that craft?
Not for me.
Or, you know, to slide those little passes and turn in those little tight areas.
I don't even think, technically, if you're talking about number 10 for Rangers to come in and have a real effect, for me, I don't think he's technically good enough to play number 10 against, yeah, 9 times out of 10 a low block where you need to take the ball in areas where you're back to goal and manipulate it away from. But I don't think, I think he's a raw number 9 who at this moment just isn't. Isn't clinical. I still think he needs a lot.
Is there a predicament there then? Because if we're saying this is now, and they're all sort of big, and but it accumulates. This is this now the biggest game of the season, essentially the biggest league game of the season. Have you seen? I know he got his goal, and he brings a chaos factor. Have you seen enough of Ryan Nadiri to say you're the man that starts against Hearts? Because I know there's criticism for Chirmiti. Can throw me off ski in if you are that way inclined.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I would, because from what I've seen, he makes the box a lot more than Chirmiti does. I think when the ball goes wide, because you've got a Nadiri who wants to be in that area where he can score goals, and he does that better than Chirmiti, and Chirmiti's had lots of opportunities to show that. Yes, he does some not bad things outside the box, Chirmiti, but Rangers at the weekend are going to have to put the ball in the box, make Hearts defend. I would rather Nadiri in there.
If you're giving me Ryan Nadiri, Bojan Miovski, or Youssef Chirmiti, Chirmiti's third choice for Sunday.
But so you've seen enough though of Ryan Nadiri.
I just think I looked at the two attempts that Chirmiti had, two attempts in one, as it were, hit the goalkeeper, and then the ball was cleared away.
The first strike's really poor. It's a striker who's not good.
Because by the second one, the damage is done. Because Stephen O'Donnell get in front of him.
But for me, he lacks composure in front of
him. I'm betting on Miovski scoring that, and I'm betting on Nadiri scoring that as well.
I know Miovski got his hat trick and stuff, and he has scored. But there's a reason we're not bombarded with calls for him to start matches either.
I'm astonished that Youssef Chirmiti has gathered the kind of transfer fees that he has.
I think it's the unpredictability of him. He physically looks good. He does have a turn of pace, and everybody can see. Listen, he needs to be polished, and they're just hoping that he scores any goals, and then that maybe brings that. But for me, he lacks composure in front of goal.
Can you though, to cut him a little bit of slack? That's a bad miss the other night, but it's his only chance.
That's a huge chance, and it's not for me.
If you're a Rangers striker, you might think that you're going to get 3 and 4 in a game. Are Rangers creative enough?
No, they're not creative enough. Especially, and it's harder to be creative.
Because by the way,
harder to be creative, Gordon, when you don't have the ball.
So the goal was very good and deserved credit. But even that chance comes from a rare mistake, really, from Motherwell, where Stephen Welsh tries to head it back, I think, to the goalkeeper, and does it kind of hit Chirmiti and then fall into his path.
Yeah.
So even that's not created, and I get it because the top strikers take their one chance when it comes along, but I think we all know he's not top. So can Rangers create 3 and 4 of those chances? He takes one of them and then nothing, it doesn't look as bad.
I don't know, Gordon. I thought that was a really poor miss.
But that's what I mean. But you might get another bite at 10 minutes later and you score.
The decision from hit the ball that way, for me as a striker who he just isn't a killer in the box, because it was all you had to do was open your foot and pass it in the corner, let it come down and just pass it in the corner. He actually probably could have took a touch away from the defender and still had a better gap in the goal.
About service. However, I also think of the expression, he comes alive in the box. Chirmiti doesn't come alive in the box for me. As I say, I would have Nadiri or Miovski before him for Sunday against Hearts.
Because this is Scotland, and that's what we do. Forensically, I'm still getting tweets today saying he should have had a penalty though. Chirmiti, you buying that? Is there enough in that one for you?
Well, it's just hard to gauge now, Gordon, week to week, because what we're seeing, it really is. I think for me, I think if you're a Rangers fan, you're saying if it's a penalty for your mother, well, you...
It doesn't jump out at you has been a massive...
Not for me.
Penalty claims in the aftermath of an unexpected draw are null and void.
Nah, they're not though, to be fair.
They are in the court of Keevan.
Motherwell will be arguing about that one at Ibrox at the last minute as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. Loads to look forward to this weekend. What about you, Kelly fans? I'd like to hear from you, because there's probably a trap you fall into of thinking, oh, Celtic will go and win, and then it puts the pressure on Rangers and Hearts. But how much have you improved in recent weeks? Let's go to Chris though, who is a Hearts fan. Would we describe you as a confident Hearts fan, Chris, or where would you gauge it?
Oh, definitely, mate. Aye, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
I feel really, really optimistic now, eh, about what's to come in that. I was at the Derby on Tuesday there, eh, like, what a celebration it was, eh? Like, my throat's still killing me for all the speed of the shouting. But, big Magnus, and what a finish that was, eh? Like, I didn't, like, think people realised how good a finish that was. Like, it was played in, like, the pace by Milne, eh? Like, there's a lot of people kicking about in the box and that, yep. And like the composure to open up his right foot and bullet that into the bottom corner, like it was outstanding for Big Mags. Eh? He's had a lot of stick since he signed, like a lot of fans, including me at times, but that was a real moment of quality for him. Eh?
That's like, a, do you know what, Scott? Honestly, actually been lost a wee bit. I don't heard one person mention that it was a decent finish, really, because it's just like the everybody, first
I,
of all,
I was covering it. I said it was a decent finish,
the big
at the
picture,
time.
And then everybody moaned about the fact that the game wasn't great.
But the drama of it all overtook the analysis of it all. You know, it was a terrific finish, but it was just the drama of it all. The cameras then panned to Derek McInnes, who's halfway down the track cuddling ball boys by that time. But yeah, it was a terrific finish. But will he even play on Sunday, Chris?
I'd imagine he would, to be honest, eh? Like, well, I would start him anyway. Like
instead,
say, like,
instead of who, saying, Chris? Who would you play him instead of? Would you make any changes to the Hearts team for the weekend?
I think so. I'm not a big fan of Leonard and Benny playing together, eh, to be honest. Like, I mean, they're both quality players, but I just think it's a bit too defensive, eh? Like, I would maybe put Magnussen in as like the more attacking option in the midfield, eh?
Will Chesnikov stay in, Scott? He's been a fascinating signing because he's kind of Jamestown identified, or he's been meant to be coming in for a while. He came in, Derek McInnes saying he wasn't up to speed, then he starts in the Derby. Didn't do loads, but then did Hearts play to his strengths? He's a winger. They kind of punted a lot of diagonals towards him.
Well, he had the chance, didn't he, at the back post where he goes with the wrong foot. He goes with right
into
foot,
the goalkeeper.
I think
angle was quite tight though, no?
Yeah, it is with your left foot, but if you just let it come across your body, your right foot, you're sliding it in the near post. What Derek McInnes did say was, off the ball, he's obviously seen him in training, he does the work, he puts a shift in, and I think that obviously tells you where Derek McInnes is at. He needs everybody doing a job defensively without the ball, and it's paying off at this moment.
Chris, do you still think you can go there and win for the second time this season, having done a double over Celtic as well, without Shankland and Devlin?
To be honest, like, I'm not 100% sure on a win. Like, I would give us a good chance of at least getting a draw, though.
And you take that, I take it, with being 5 points ahead at the moment?
I think I would, eh, because obviously, see if we draw the game, like, we're still too clear at the top, eh? And, like, the running games after that until the split, like, they're a lot easier, eh? Like, I'm not saying that they're easy games, because there isn't really any, but they're easier than what we could have. Like, with Falkirk at home, Aberdeen at home, Killy away, like, Dundee at home, there's an Old Firm to be played in there as well, eh? Plus Shanks and Devlin are due back in the next few weeks, eh? So I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I think we'll definitely win the league, eh? Because I've not said that all season, but I think, like, now the way it is and the way that we're playing, like, we've just as much chance as anybody else in the race, eh?
Hugh, this, you think Hearts would take a draw ultimately if you offered Derek McInnes one now?
Probably, but I think it's a dangerous mindset.
Yeah, that, I was going to say that it's hard to approach
course,
it like that.
Yeah, of course.
But that's the reality.
Hearts. The pressure isn't in Hearts to have to win the game. What it does do is give them a much better cushion. If Hearts come away with the point, I think Derek McInnes will be happy.
I think if Hearts won the game, and it must be at the back of Derek's mind, it would be like an explosion. You know, 8 points ahead of Rangers. Don't know what happened to Celtic at Kilmarnock. It would be very, very tough for them. But what a statement that would be to go to Ibrox and to win, go 8 points ahead of Rangers. I would never imagine Derek approaching the game with any other thought than let's go and win this.
Okay, thank you to Chris in Livingston. It's 01419511025. Good teaser tonight. Thanks to Rory for sending it in. Thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow, our new sponsors, for helping us out with it. We have, you've made a good start. So we're looking for 8 other players who, apart from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who've won the Champions League since 2003 and played in Scotland at any point. So you've
Virgil,
got
Virgil van Dijk.
Hold on, Van Bronckhorst, Larsson, Robertson. Yes, van Dijk, of course.
Gravesen?
Nope.
Roy Keane?
Nope. Four to get, sorry, you're halfway there. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. We've got a championship game on tonight as well, and you could still squeeze a call in when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. They are in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Big game in the championship kicking off between Airdrie and St Johnstone. I try not to view everything through a Partick Thistle, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray, Clyde One Super Scoreboard lens.
But why not?
Can Airdrie do them a favour against the league leaders?
I wouldn't rule out the possibility of a draw, but I don't think Airdrie can beat St Johnstone.
Friday nights are where it's at for Airdrie at the moment. We had them in the cup last weekend, wasn't it?
Against
St Mirren, they pushed St Mirren pretty close. St Johnstone, though, adding a bit of firepower in the January window. Aggie Mann from Falkirk, Josh Fowler from Queen's Park.
Difficult game, I think, for St Johnstone. Just looking at that midfield. Well. Cole McKinnon, good player. Burjonis, both come through at Rangers. Charlie Telfer. Mockery from Dundee United as a kid, really good footballer, and Henderson's been scoring. I think that'll be a difficult game for St Johnstone.
It's a lot of firepower, though. You look at St Johnstone's front three, like we said, Fowler, who they go and get from Queen's Park because he's been excellent. Josh McPake, maybe the standout player in the league. Rory Payton in there, Jamie Gullen as well. That's
very attacking, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I just think going the other way, Airdrie will feel if their build up's good, they'll get chances to go and score goals. So this will be a fascinating one.
Okay, did you make any progress during the break? We're looking for eight, not Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, eight other players who've won the Champions League since 2003 and they've played in Scotland at any point. So they can have won the Champions League prior to that, of course. You've got Giovanni van Bronckhorst, Henrik Larsson, Andy Robertson and Virgil van Dijk.
Is there a goalkeeper in there?
No. A couple of them are very, very tricky.
Gattuso.
Yes. Any more?
Coming up short there.
I think what's also maybe a bit not sneaky as such, because they all count, as they say, but didn't necessarily play in the final, I don't think, maybe. But I don't let that cloud your judgment. Just throw some at me. Three to get. There's another. What I'll say is, there's two that are really tough. One in particular is outrageous.
Billy Gilmore didn't play.
Nah, didn't play up here. No. There's one sort of easier one, a former Rangers midfielder. Before we get to the two really tricky ones.
DeBoer?
But again, that sort of Rangers midfielder, obviously, came with a big reputation, left to a big reputation. Like a well-known name, not one that you'll have forgotten that, he might have played at that level. Not quite. Maybe not quite in the Gattuso bracket, but it wouldn't be.
Nerlinger?
No. Portuguese.
Pedro Mendes.
Okay, two to get, and they are tough, let me tell you. One of them in particular, I think if I name the player, you wouldn't even be able to tell me what Scottish team he played for. Oh, I think there's a danger of that.
Are the two players really well known? Do we get the clubs that they played for? Because I feel that it's not just going to be Rangers and Celtic players here.
Correct. One of them played for Hearts. That's all I'll give you just now. And then we'll revisit. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Hugh? It's hard not to have attention drawn to Sunday. Because even Mercedes-Jens and the Lanarkshire Globetrotters, they don't play till Sunday either. Against Aberdeen.
The first day I've heard that.
But tomorrow, what jumps out for you? What would you like to prioritise?
All three have a lot about them. I mean, St Mirren at Easter Road, you'd have to strongly fancy David Gray's team on the rebound from an Edinburgh Derby defeat, but St Mirren are just slipping away. To score three goals at Kilmarnock and not win the match must be a real sore one for Stephen Robinson, but they haven't been good enough. But they've been overtaken by Dundee as the lowest goal scorers in the division. And Dundee have got their work cut out against Big Marv's Livy. It's Livy's last chance. If they don't win tomorrow, they're gone. They're away. And Falkirk, Dundee United, it's a dress rehearsal for a Scottish Cup quarter final. Dundee United been
not played in a while, have they?
Yeah, exactly, because of the terrible weather in the northeast. And Falkirk get out of jail with the Jan Danda penalty miss midweek. But John McGlynn and all the Falkirk players deserve immense credit, so I would fancy Falkirk to get something out of that game. So for St Mirren, Libby and Dundee, it's particularly important because it's the short-term consequences that lead to a difficult long-term future if you don't get your finger out soon.
Always wary of the patronising pat on the head when you lose at Celtic Park, but people say, oh, you know, you did quite well. But having said that, were there signs that Livy do look a bit different under Marvin? And maybe something to work with.
For me, I definitely think there was something to work with. I think you look at the Falkirk game, second half, definitely got a response after being two goals down, and maybe could have nicked a draw in the end at Celtic Park going a goal down so early on. I did feel on the night when I was watching it, I felt they'd maybe collapse and it would be 4 or 5 for Celtic, but it didn't. They responded, they defended really well. Guys throwing their bodies in front of the ball, and what they'd done really well was their press was really good. They did force Celtic into quite a lot of mistakes, and listen, they were basically seconds away from getting what would have been a crucial point. But it's been an interesting game, that. Dundee, over the last month, there's been some really good performance in there. A few touches on the goal scoring, I think that's always a problem. Looking at the other games, Hibs and St Mirren. St Mirren, for me, are in danger of going the wrong way. I agree with you on that. I think they were always a team who were built on foundations of defending well. Some of the goals they gave away the other night, and Stephen Robertson spoke about it in his after-game interview, some of the goals were really, really poor.
I don't mean to leave Saturday out already, having only brought it up 90 seconds ago, but half the games are on Sunday. Aberdeen, big news today. The managerial situation has sort of concluded in that Peter Leaven is going to be until the end of the season, but perhaps more interestingly assisted by Tony Docherty, who returns having been assistant to Derek McInnes.
I have to assume that someone at the club has thought that the whole coaching setup, the interim coaching setup, needs beefed up before the new manager comes in.
Goal for St Johnstone. I think the flag is up. Sorry, Hugh, on you go.
Before the new manager comes in, the setup needs beefed up. When Aberdeen lost 3 goals at Kilmarnock, Peter Leaven spoke afterwards of players not wanting it badly enough, and the quotes were of such a negative nature, I thought, this is a club going nowhere, and going nowhere fast. And I think Tony Docherty has been brought in, he's been there for a long time with Derek McInnes, knows the club inside out, had a good time as Dundee manager, which then turned into a bad time, lost his job. But I think he is seen as beefing up the coaching staff, but it still won't be enough to get them a point against Motherwell.
Eric Horneland, that's how we'll say it, I think. He is apparently going to come in the summer, though, Scott, not in a position to come at the moment. The Norwegian manager, that might be the long-term plan. I think that will frustrate Aberdeen. I don't have time, really, to plea for Aberdeen fans to phone in, but almost like, you know, if you want, if the plan was to do Peter Leaven, you clearly could have done that, you know, weeks ago.
Yep.
I suppose I appreciate they've tried to go through a negotiation, not been able to get certain things over the line, and then they fall back on this. But would it have been obviously better if that was the route you were going down to do it earlier?
Yeah, but they obviously have conversations with managers. Horneland, if he can only come in the summer, then they then have to then restructure it, bring Tony Docherty in, who they feel will be an experienced head, someone who's worked at Aberdeen for many of years previously. So listen, that's a long term plan, is him coming in the summer. And between the coaching staff at Aberdeen now, they now have to start getting a tune out of the players, because they've been so inconsistent. They're actually been a hard watch at times this season. I've seen quite a lot of their games, but there is some good players in there, so it'll be interesting to see. I don't see them getting anything away to Motherwell. I think that's a really difficult game. They've also been a team who haven't played much over the last 10 days, so fully behind Motherwell winning that game.
Okay, looking forward to it. Big day in the Championship as well tomorrow, like the old Dougie Emery, Ian Murray crossover. Morton and Raith, and both managing against their former team. Dunfermline Partick Thistle's a big one as well, and especially depending on what St Johnstone can do tonight. Just seeing it back, no VAR in the Championship, as everyone likes to celebrate. But I wonder if Josh Fowler was onside there.
Really tight, wasn't it?
Well, there's somebody behind him that was off, but I don't know if he was, and the goal doesn't stand. Anyway, let's leave it there. We are asking you on the teaser tonight, can you name Apart from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, eight players who've won the Champions League since 2003 and they've played in Scotland at some point in their career. So it might have been before. Rino Gattuso would be an example of that. Pedro Mendes, Giovanni van Bronckhorst, Henrik Larsson, Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk.
You said Hearts, didn't you?
Yes.
How recently?
Early, kind of mid-2000s. He won the Champions League early 2000s. Came to Hearts not long after. Part of the Lithuanian Revolution. That should give it a wee clue.
Czesnauskas.
Jankauskas.
Jankauskas.
Edgaris Jankauskas. And the other one.
What team?
He played in the Champions League that season, obviously, hence why he's in the question, for Liverpool. And he had a spell at Dundee United. He's French, I think. I could make this name up to you. I remember him, but I'm a wee bit sad with stuff like this.
Sacha Distel.
Cinema Pongol.
Yes.
Oh.
Florence Cinema yes. Pongol.
Goodness.
There we go. Heard of him, Hugh?
No.
There we go. Enjoy your Valentine's weekend. Hugh's getting empty, remember? That's how he's spending his, honestly. What does that say about Hugh Keevans that his wife has chosen to go away for Valentine's weekend without him? But anyway, we're here to keep him company, and what a weekend we've got in store. It all starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you join us. The GBX is up next.